young people who've been in the Water Bureau who've left because there's no way for them to interject anything that they would have a great idea with.
Your time's up. Hi.
Hello again. My name is Crystal Ilinski, and you are my representative, so I'd like to apologize, first of all, for my outburst earlier. I'm trying to come on a regular basis, but I came today to, I did not know I'd be testifying for the second time already. I came today to follow up on the Portland Police Bureau recommendations to answer the Department of Justice and the issue with medical care in the city, social services. And as Reverend Cecil Prescott was saying earlier, everything is connected. When I come here on Wednesdays and I see...
So I need you to speak to the agenda item.
I'm actually referring to this right now.
Everything is... You have to speak to the agenda item, so...
This is what I'm doing.
All right.
But the reason I'm here today is because I was following up on last week's decision to vote in the recommendations for the Portland Police Bureau. And citizens try to stop that. You gave us a week's extension. And here I am on issues that as a citizen really bother me. I hear on a regular basis what Beth is saying. This is what, maybe we follow the news and we're just shocked at the decisions that are being made here at City Hall. And I don't follow this as well as I would the mental health situation or the police situation in the city. But this is all connected. We can't be throwing $200 million here and there. The reason I had the outburst is it sounded, I think the CRC came back to me. This kind of bureaucracy that goes on, and like I said, it's really hard to be a part of the process because you can't even get to the budget meetings, and it's not that open to the average citizen. This is ridiculous. This is such a sham.
And your comments on this are?
Well, as I said earlier in my early testimony, is that everybody knows that we don't need to cover the reservoir. This is a joke. We should be implementing the things that work really well, like the DPAVE project, taking care of our environment. The rates, I guess, help a lot of people because we're considering gray water. Portland citizens have the answers, and you just need to listen to them, and you'd save a lot of money. Oftentimes, we've got this room filled with hundreds of people with great ideas, and this is one of the ideas that I can see, just as an average citizen, is a joke, and it's a waste of our money, and why we have to cut other budget items for this and push it through. It's just like the neon rose. Why is this being pushed through?
Thank
it's bizarre.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. All right. That gets us to, this is an emergency, is it? Or is it non-emergency?
Non-emergency.
Non-emergency. All right. So this moves to further council consideration next week on the regular agenda. Can you please read item number 1252?
Authorized.
Did you have another one, Commissioner Leonard, that you had to get to before you left?
This one.
Oh, this one. Okay.
1252.
Unless you have emergency ordinances that you think I might need to...
I don't think so.
...be on.
Nope.
1252, authorize up to $3.5 million in 10-year interfund capital loans from City Fleet Operating, Facility Services Operating, and Technology Services Fund to the General Fund for reimbursement to the Water Bureau of expenditures for acquisition, construction, and renovation of certain assets for potential expenses associated with the Willamette Harbor Superfund site and to transfer management responsibility for certain assets between the Parks Bureau and Water Bureau.
I think that's the longest title to a resolution in the history of the council.
Some of which required by local budget law.
Can you give us an overview of what we're looking at here?
Yes. Thank you. yeah, so what this does is it's an interfund loan for $3.5 million. And again, the funds it comes from are in the title of the ordinance. It provides for the general fund loans to reimburse the Water Bureau for Rose Festival building renovation and maintenance expenses. The total is about $1.6 million. Also, there's some additional, the remainder of those, the interfund loan is general fund money for the Willamette Harbor Superfund capital expenses and other city capital needs. And then it finally revises the 2009 land swap between Water and Parks so that Parks gets the Rose Festival building back and then Water will get back the Mount Tabor land.
And the Superfund relates to EPA's request of the city to engage in early planning for a remedial design on River Mile 11. And it's likely that the contamination in River Mile 11 is not related to the city's sewering function. So that's why it's general fund. Any questions from council? Anyone wish to testify in this matter?
So we're reimbursing, on the Superfund item, we're reimbursing the Water Bureau?
No. This is general fund, and it's set aside for the potential expenditures on River Mile 11, which are not sewer related. So it's not reimbursing.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We're not reimbursing BS. It's a standalone expense.
Got it.
Anyone wish to testify?
No one signed up.
All right. Can you please call the vote on the resolution?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
So Mayor Adams, would you mind if we did 1255?
Can you please read the title for 1255?
Accept the report on budget note regarding rapid response vehicle pilot program.
Commissioner Leonard.
So as the council will recall, as part of the 2010 bond proposal, we included money in that bond for what are called rapid response vehicles. Most emergency medical personnel would refer them to them as basic life support vehicles. And as part of that, we want to give regular briefings to the council as to the success and effectiveness of this program. So Fire Chief Aaron Jansens.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor, Commissioners. Commissioner Fritz, congratulations.
Thank you.
We'd like to discuss the...
And for the record, who are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Aaron Jansens, Fire Chief, Portland Fire and Rescue.
Jago Fabio.
We're here to discuss with you today the RRV, or Rapid Response Vehicle Report. I believe it was presented to you through proper channels. We have discovered that with the design of the rapid response vehicles, they were initially designed to respond to low priority calls, as modeled similarly after the Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue CARS program. While that was our intent to make that successful, through further research, we discovered that the number of low priority calls would be relatively low. We found that looking citywide and throughout the response of an RRV car within a 20-minute time, the RRVs would be going out very, very infrequently, perhaps once or twice a day, because there are larger volume of higher priority calls that we actually go on, and that indeed most of the calls that Portland Fire and Rescue responds to are emergency-type calls. So what we did was we did an analysis of the higher priority calls and made a determination of how to make the program successful and also improve the response reliability and response times for our emergency apparatus on the higher priority emergencies. With that, we included SK3s, which are general sick calls, trauma calls of that aren't a high-priority trauma call, for example, something where someone may have broken an arm or something, but it's not necessarily life-threatening, and an abdominal call where they need to be assessed by a trained responder but not necessarily involve advanced life support measures. So in doing this, we were able to successfully improve the call volume and the response of our RRV program with an average of, I believe, approximately 8 calls per day during the 4 10-hour operational periods that they are functioning. With that, that is improving our response reliability to those areas that they're serving. Our bureau-wide...
So just so that the council understands what that means, response reliability of fire engines and trucks were there to be a fire in their first response area. So they're,
correct.
We have a more likelihood of them being in service and not on a low-priority EMS call, so they're available to actually save lives.
Correct. Correct. So, as I said, Portland Fire and Rescue primarily responds to high-priority emergencies where oftentimes people's lives are in jeopardy. A great example just occurred on Friday where we had an apartment fire, and I'm not sure if people saw the media release on that, but we had a fire in an apartment building, morning hours, I believe it was just before 9 a.m., and unfortunately, one person perished in that fire. However, in the apartment above, people were also trapped. And because our units were in position, they were able to get to the fire, place ladders, ventilate the structures, begin attacking the fire, and also were able to extricate and save two people who, if there had been a delay with that truck crew, I don't want to sound extreme, but those people likely would have perished in that fire. And so it was critical that we had that reliability and that response there for the citizens that we could respond in a timely fashion. It was critical. So the RRVs are an integral part of that response and how we provide the response to our citizens, I believe. Bureau-wide, if you look at, do you have the reports in front of you, I assume? Bureau-wide, the response reliability averages is hovering, let's say, about 91%. In those stations, FMAs, we were able to improve that dramatically with the implementation of the RRVs.
Let's make sure.
Rapid response vehicles.
And FMAs,
fire management areas.
So their first response area.
Thank you. So the rapid response vehicles are designed to take the low priority calls, and that's within a 20-minute time period because there are generally a lower priority call. So they can be dispatched over an area that may include 5 to 7 different fire management areas. And depending upon the time of dispatch, the time of day, road conditions, their availability and position, the crews actually do an assessment of whether they believe that they can make that low priority call and take that for a higher priority apparatus, being an engine, fire engine or fire truck, and then get there within a 20-minute time frame. So there are times that they may be dispatched, but in fact they may have to cancel so that we can provide a reasonable time response to the citizens, and therefore then they'll dispatch the first-in fire apparatus to that location in those instances. But generally, the rapid response vehicles are taking those calls. They're also taking, as I said earlier, the general sick calls, the abdominal calls, and the lower-priority trauma calls where they can intervene and then provide response reliability within their first-in fire management area. Through that, we were able to assess response times, response reliability, the impact on those within their first-in fire management area as well as the surrounding fire management areas. We were able to look at the miles traveled and saved. We did an analysis on the cost of the apparatus to operate, and we actually were able to calculate that over a 10-year period, we believe that the RRVs can save and extend the life of a frontline apparatus by almost a year when used in conjunction with that apparatus. The program background was initially designed to improve response reliability and response times for critical fire apparatus, reduce the mileage and therefore the wear and tear on that more expensive apparatus, and also save fuel maintenance and replacement costs. We believe that the RRV program is successful in doing those things when used in conjunction with our fire apparatus, and we believe that it's a positive model. We would like to continue to assess that. We have recognized that there is data that we have not been collecting throughout the system, and we have identified some of those gaps, and we are looking to improve and correct that deficiency and collect more data to actually provide better service. I'd like to open it up to you to see if you have any questions. We can clarify anything.
I appreciate this report. It does show, I think, that, and I appreciate your hard work to make the rapid response vehicles work as they, you know, as the philosophy is, which is to recognize a majority of calls are medical, to see if we can use more nimble, light response vehicles to deal with some of those calls and then preserve our heavier engines and improve overall reliability time. And I think there's some good positive information in this report that indicates, as you just stated, that I think we are having an impact, the rapid response vehicles. And I also feel that, as you highlighted, the sort of taking on more basic life support calls, I know you've had conversations with the county medical director, and I think that's a very positive indication that the medical director is attuned to this need as well for these lighter, nimbler vehicles. And I think that goes back to the Tri-Data study, which, you know, highlighted that RRV can really oftentimes be the most appropriate response rather than the heavier stock trucks. So, and we know that more and more people are using the 911 system as their emergency rooms and as their primary source of health care. So it's even more important that we're able to identify these calls and really to make sure the appropriate apparatus, like a rapid response vehicle, instead of a ladder truck, is dispatched where appropriate. So I do want to thank you. I guess I just want to reiterate, I think there's a sentence in here that says, and I think you just said that, that the rapid response vehicles likely have a positive impact on response times of frontline emergency apparatus in the RRV response area. So it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess my question, there's a long way of getting to my question. So we talked about, with the bond measure, acquiring 4 rapid response vehicles. I realize right now you've acquired 2, and you're using 2, and then you're using, well, I guess you're just using 2 right now. Is that, or are you using 2 rescues?
No, we're using 2 rapid response vehicles. Right.
Okay. So I guess the question is, when do you plan to purchase the remaining 2? Well, hopefully not the remaining 2, but at least the 2 of the 4 that were specified.
We have the 4. We just don't have the permanent staffing for 4 vehicles right now. So we had them in place. We simply just don't have the staffing, permanent staffing for those. Now, when we have the ability to staff, due to if we have a very low number of people off due to vacation, we are utilizing the people in the most efficient manner, and we're trying to staff them. But it's been very inconsistent. So we have those 2 additional units.
So it's been inconsistent on those latter.
On the additional 2, correct. Correct. Okay. So we're doing our best to try and improve the response reliability as much as we can by utilizing those if we have any additional staffing whatsoever. And the additional staffing are used solely to reduce overtime costs.
Mm-hmm.
So we happen to be needing them generally to reduce the overtime instead.
And you mentioned a more far-reaching analysis. Is that something that will be done by the Fire Bureau or Fire Bureau
we're
Office
trying
of
to
Management
improve,
Finance? Or
we're
both,
trying
or?
To improve the data collection
data
so that we
yeah,
can we can provide more informed decisions. And we'll provide
that. Now, is that something Office of Management Finance can assist you in? I mean, they do
It would probably be great, but initially it's about the information that we're collecting. We need to collect more information on the front end.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then another analyst would be great. But.
That's why I was offering OMF.
That's a great,
the great
idea.
People at the Office of Management and Finance. Okay. The great existing people.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Would anyone like to testify on item number 1255? Carla, this is a resolution. Can you please call, or it's a report. Move acceptance. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion to accept the report?
Leonard?
Well, this program is being closely monitored and analyzed by Chief Jensen's personally. She has invested a lot of her time and energy, as her analysis reflected. And I know Jay's helping her a lot as well collect the data. I really appreciate how Chief Jensen's has worked to make sure this succeeds. I mean, what she didn't say maybe as boldly as I will tell you now, were she to just implement this program based on the direction from the council, it would have not been a success and could have easily come back and said the direction you gave us to respond to these low priority calls shows that these are not productive means with which to use our resources. But she on her own decided to increase the kinds of EMS calls that these rapid response vehicles respond to, so they succeed. And I didn't ask her to do that. She did that. It's one of the reasons I picked her to be fire chief, is because she is a tremendous, thoughtful initiator of good ideas. And where she sees a good idea needing some work, she works to improve it. And I, you know, I will miss a lot of things when I leave, most of which will be working with the Fire Bureau and Chief Jensen. So thank you for your good work. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your good work. Aye.
Fish.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to echo Commissioner Leonard's remarks. I think Chief Jansen's has really done a lot to help make the rapid response vehicles a reality. We need to get all four of them up and operating, at least four. But I think the results from your reports, and I get your monthly reports, are, I think, encouraging, as you've presented here today. We are getting care to those people who need it. We're also reducing the wear and tear on our heavier stock engines and improving, I think, overall response times, too, of our heavier stock. So good work. Aye.
Adams.
Thanks to Commissioners Leonard and Saltzman for your work on this. Again, thanks to Commissioner Leonard for getting the bond measure passed so that we could be having this. We have this opportunity to innovate. And thanks to you, Chief, and your team for great work on this. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote on item second reading, item number 1253.
Grant a right-of-way use agreement to Clear Wireless LLC for 3 years for wireless broadband internet access services and establish terms and conditions. Leonard?
He's gone.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Can you please read the title and call the vote? Second reading, item number 1254.
Grant a right-of-way use agreement to Sprint Spectrum LP for 3 years for mobile telecommunications services and establish terms and conditions. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title? Second reading, item number 1256.
Authorize a disposition agreement with Multnomah County for the eastern lots of Block U. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
I want to thank my colleagues for their strong support of this transaction, and I want to acknowledge a really dynamic partnership with Multnomah County. And to put this in context, much of the work that we do at the city around housing and serving vulnerable populations is done in partnership with the county, and this is an area where both of our missions overlap. and we have an opportunity working together to create even more value for the community. And we saw that with the big look process, where the city and the county took a hard look at the tax abatements and came up with a reform proposal. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for the help that you gave us in that endeavor, where we have now a more strategic, focused, and cost-effective program with more accountability built in. We're currently working on a update to the 10-year plan. We call it the reset. But again, we're looking at how can the city and the county partner better and smarter together to deliver services to people who need our help. And this is another example. When this council authorized what we now call Bud Clark Commons, the original design called for a full block building of 2 and 3 stories. And Mayor Adams, as you'll recall, it was a lovely building, but it was out of step with some of our other city goals, particularly around density and how we use a scarce space downtown. At my request, the design team reconsidered the building and created a half block urban form building, literally by stacking the various functions into the building we now know today. That freed up a half block, which could be used for some compatible purpose. Lots of people have had ideas about what could happen on that half block, what we call Block U. The best idea that really came to us was the idea of building a new county health department there. It was an idea well received by the community, which thought it made sense, and it was it's a use that is compatible with Bud Clark Commons, in that many of the people who either call Bud Clark Commons home or come through that building would also be able to access services through the County Health Department building. And frankly, in structuring this deal, we've ensured that there will be a building adjacent to Bud Clark Commons which is not only compatible in terms of service delivery, but also in terms of design. And we're going to take great care to make sure that the outdoor space on the east side of Bud Clark Commons, where people during the day have a chance to sit outside and enjoy themselves, will not be unduly impacted by the design. There'll be some setbacks. So to me, this is a win-win. And the primary financing for this deal is urban renewal money, and that was an agreement, Mayor, that you led in conjunction with the expansion of the district. And I think that was appropriate. But the additional piece that we're authorizing today is that we deem the half block, we are contributing the half block to the deal. It is dirt that has a value of somewhere around $1.3 to $1.5 million. It qualifies as under our 30% set aside for an investment, because the County Health Department is a community facility which meets our guidelines. But beyond that, because that's the technical stuff, this would not happen if we didn't have a robust partnership with the county in looking at these issues. And so I want to thank Director Tracy Manning and the talented people at the Portland Housing Bureau who helped structure this, our friends at Portland Development Commission, and in particular Chair Kogan and his team. And I think this, as Dan mentioned last week, the idea of a new and modern county health department located in an area where many of the people who need the services are located, which has also been embraced by the community, is a big win. And so I thank everyone who made this possible. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Well, congratulations, Commissioner Fish. Congratulations, Chair Jeff Kogan. This is, I think, a fantastic use of this second half of the block. And I appreciate the creativity that you both employed to make this happen. I think Portlanders will be very well served. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 1257?
Implement rainfall-derived infiltration and inflow reduction program pilot projects in Southwest Portland to resolve capacity problems in Fano Creek and Burlingame sewer basins, and to comply with Oregon Department of Environmental Mutual Agreement and Order.
Commissioner,
turn it over to Scott Gibson of the Bureau of Environmental Services.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, Mr. Mayor. I'm here to talk to you today about rainfall-derived infiltration and inflow. It's a problem.
Pardon?
About technical sewer projects that we're having, we want to implement in Southwest. We basically, we have a sanitary sewer in the Southwest Portland neighborhoods, which has a problem of receiving inflow from direct connected sources, meaning roof drains, area drains, and also infiltration through cracks in the pipes. When it rains heavily, these pipes are only designed to carry the sewage, but they are struggling to carry the water that comes in through these defects. There is so much of this rainfall-derived inflow and infiltration that sewer backs up through manholes in Southwest and frequently drips down the street and goes back into Fano Creek. In fact, the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, we've come to an agreement with them to solve the infiltration and inflow failures at Southwest DeWitt and 25th, and we're working under timelines agreed with the DEQ to carry out that action. The Bureau also has an agreement with Clean Water Services, a reciprocal agreement to serve the areas in Southwest, and in that agreement we've committed to an aggressive infiltration and inflow abatement program. The Bureau of Environmental Services is designing a pilot project for a bid early next year, which will be our first major construction effort to solve this problem, and two other pilot projects coming in the following years. Based on the success of similar projects throughout the nation, BES hopes to work with private property owners who would voluntarily give the city permission to make repairs to their private system. Literature says that addressing the INI at sources is significantly less expensive than building larger sewers downstream to handle the rainfall that gets into the sewer system. We've done our analysis of the pilot projects and the alternatives, and our estimates that completing the cost of our INI program by addressing it at the source is estimated to cost $26 million. The approximate cost of designing and installing sewers with the capacity to convey the INI at approximately $38 million. What we're asking for in this resolution is concurrence with the council for the enactment of three pilot projects intended to both make measurable progress towards our ultimate goals, but also help us understand which solutions are going to be most effective, how effective they'll be, and to verify our analysis of the cost and benefits. I'm here to take any questions if you have any.
All right. Would anyone like to testify in this matter? Then this is a resolution. So, Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title, second reading, and call the vote for item number 1258?
Authorized grant agreement for restoration, education, and stewardship services with the Johnson Creek Watershed Council. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. We're in recess until 2 p.m.